Welcome back to the QU Podcast. I am your host, Wyatt Randolph, and I'm joined today by News Director of WGM, Chad Mahoney. Thank you for coming in, sir.
Wyatt, nice to be with you today. Thanks for inviting me in.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, cold April morning, and I'm so excited to have such a legend in the community here, somebody with such experience over 30 years in the industry that is very inspiring to someone like me. So,
well, it's great to be here, and great to see the studio here. You guys, you know, you have a nice plush studio. One of your instructors is waving at us right now through the window here, the glass.
Yes,
Nora Baldner. Good to see her. So I know you're learning from good people here at Quincy University.
Yes, she's a fantastic teacher. She has helped me so much since I joined the communication program. So it's been a blast, and this opportunity has been the best part. Just getting to meet with you and Jeff Dorsey, and actually a lot of people from KHQA came in. So
a lot of good people in town. Yes, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the TV broadcasting with the news, it seems to be the one thing that's staying strong. Kind of with the as things evolve. I had a gentleman in here last time, and he described it how like the newspaper was the one thing to fall off. You know, it never got updated, but TV, he doesn't see that going. Well, what do you think on that?
Well, I think we all have learned that we aren't just TV broadcasters.
Yeah,
we're content producers, right?
Yeah.
So we're producing content. What we do, the core of it, has never changed. We're local journalists, and the core of journalism hasn't changed. But what has changed and what we have had to adapt to is the audience habits. So our delivery methods have changed over the years. So the television station is going very strong. The over-the-air broadcast still goes very strong, but we diversified.
Yeah.
At WGEM, we just recently launched a streaming app for televisions. In the business, it's what we call OTT, over the top.
Yeah.
So it's an OTT app. We put in a brand new OTT studio. And what that means is if you've cut the cord, if you're one of those people, you've cut the cord, you don't want to bother with setting up that over-the-air antenna, you can just download the WGEM app to your smart TV, and you can watch our newscast live. You can watch them on demand. You can also watch individual stories, weathercast, and there's exclusive content on there on that app that mm-hmm. you're not going to get on the television broadcast. You know, and you started to see the adaptation to the audience several years ago. And by several years ago, you're probably looking at 20 years ago. With internet started to come on strong, and then, you know, everyone was launching the .com, which is kind of now the legacy digital, right?
Yeah.
The .com is kind of thought of the old thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's strange. So, you bring that up because that is true. It has come up more recently that like the early 2000s internet is like ancient,
right,
you
right.
know, and I'm like, that I was alive. So it is very strange.
Yeah. So that's when you started to see broadcasters start to adapt.
You know?
So content was going out on the .com, and then they moved into, you know, the phone apps. So, of course, at our station, not only do we have the .com at WGEM, we have several apps. We have a StormTrack weather app on your phone.
Yeah.
We have a WGEM news app on your phone. Mm-hmm. We have an ESPN radio app for WGEM sports radio. And we also have a radio app for News Talk 105.
Yeah.
So we moved into the apps, and those are still going strong. But the newest thing we moved into is the television over-the-top streaming.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just think about what people do at home. They go home, they watch Netflix, do the exact same thing for news now, for local news.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that app, just like you would open up Netflix for the night, mm-hmm. it's on your own time, it's on demand. Build your own newscast, you can watch it. So what we do, the core of what we do, local broadcast journalism, it's the same, but we're adapting to the audience and how they consume it. And you can now consume WGEM News pretty much anywhere and everywhere you get your news. Alexa, we went on Alexa years ago.
Wow.
And now that's kind of, you know, old school too. It's been around for a while. But, you know, when you were first able to say, Alexa, play WGEM News, we thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But now technology has advanced. It's still there. It's still cool. These things we're talking about aren't going away, but we're adding additional ways for people to get that content.
Yeah, of course. And that it's funny that you mentioned the over-the-top broadcast, because that is kind of how our standard news broadcast here at Quincy is. We have the TV station, and it goes straight to streaming, you know, so there's no live TV, but unless it's done through a digital platform. Like, sure. I have a Roku, so I can watch it in my dorm room.
Exactly.
And that's much better than me having to get a, you know, cable provider or something like that. And for a young person. So you are getting to that audience, I think, by adapting that way. How often do you guys look towards, like, what's the new innovation? Do you wait until the market seems to be going a direction, or do you try to innovate as you go?
Every day, every hour, we're watching what our customers are doing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't often think of, when you're a journalist, of having customers, right? You don't really think about that.
Right.
But we're producing a content. In our case, it's news content for the most part. Some entertainment, but primarily news out of our building. And we got to think about, where are our customers right now, and how do we serve them best right now? You know, in the old days, you would work all day long on your story. You would have all day to go out, shoot it, write it, edit it, and then it would finally run, you know, in the 6 o'clock news. Mm. It doesn't work that way anymore. We know our consumers are out there. We know they're busier than ever before. I'm holding my phone in my hand right now, and I'm referencing this tool because that's where a lot of people get their news, right?
Yes.
So while we're out there generating the news, whether we're at a news event, we're at a breaking news event, or maybe an enterprise story that you're only going to see on our television station tonight, we're still out there in real time, hopping on social media, maybe sending an app push, alerting people on what we're working on right now, and also letting them know that we're going to have a more in-depth piece with more interviews, more context coming up tonight on the broadcast.
Yeah.
So that's where things have changed, right? Our audience has changed. So we've changed with the audience. It used to be the audience would go to work, they'd come home, sit down, watch the news. A lot of people still do that. But we also know a lot of people have lifestyles where they don't do it that way. Okay, so we need to be serving everyone who needs our local news content.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, you're speaking a lot about new technology, of course, and you got to experience news broadcasting during the COVID pandemic. And,
right.
And that sort of media fire. But it seemed like local news were staying on top of it a lot better than some of the bigger things that were kind of pushing certain agenda. You know, they were looking at, we're getting the facts the same way you are, and we're deciphering them. Do you think that is what is best done? I'm sorry. Do you think that coverage is better done now with the technology we have and the distribution we have, or would it have been better back, I don't know, pre 9/11? 'Cause that's where I see the big shift in media, like where people just get the news and they trust it. Like, what's your perspective on that?
I think the coverage is actually better now because we're better equipped with technology to cover it.
Right.
You're alluding to some of the national cable entertainment channels, I think. And I refer to those as news entertainment channels.
Yeah, they're really like the average Joe. Then there's researchers and journalists like you who actually have to go out and find it. And so I guess the technology advantage makes it easier.
I mean, if you think that when it used to be broadcasters would be using film.
Yeah.
Now, film predates me. The first thing I shot on was 3/4-inch tape.
Yeah.
Where you would drape the record deck over your shoulder,
of course,
and the
yes.
camera would have a cable rolling to it. So that's the first thing I shot on. Not for long, and then I moved on to different formats after that. But if you go back to the early days in television news, what were we using? Film. That stuff takes a while to get on the air.
Of course.
So, you know, if you had a breaking news story, or you're referring to COVID, a COVID news conference, let's say over at the Adams County Health Department at 3 p.m, that would never make it to television at 5:00.
Right.
It just could not happen. You would have to go to a dark room, develop the film, take out a razor blade, cut the film, put it together, and you might be lucky to get it on at 10:00.
Yeah.
So if you look at, you know, the coverage of the pandemic, we could go to those news conference, put it on live, and we carried many of those live in the early days of the pandemic, and people could hear it directly from the newsmakers.
Yeah.
And then we could edit it into stories and turn it pretty fast for the very next newscast or right now online.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened
yeah.
in the film days.
Yeah, of course.
So I think it's easy to look at technology and see how that's helped improved our ability to inform the public in real time in significant news events.
Yeah, so communication with the public has also increased with technology. So back in the day, how did you get feedback when you first started?
Mostly it was phone calls.
Phone calls?
Most news stations had like 800 tip lines.
Oh, okay.
You know, 1-800-2-NEWS, whatever, you know. I worked at one station. I still remember it because we would have pagers as working journalists. You get paged, you go to a payphone. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those.
I have.
Okay. You'd go to a payphone, you dial the 800 number, and it'd take you back to the newsroom. You talk to somebody. And that was published. It was published for, you know, the consumer. They could call the tip line, the 800 line. And then when cell phones started to become more common to the average Joe somewhere in the 1990s, then you could dial like star 10 to get channel 10, something like that on your phone.
Okay.
So phones were early tips. And of course, you know, people would write letters and use this thing called US mail and send it to us. And we'd open up and we'd have a news tip. And in the old days, people would show up in the lobby too.
And
that still happens sometimes. People will show up in the lobby with ideas.
Yeah.
We've always been connected to our audience. What we do is serving the community, and the community's feedback and voice is very, very much what we do.
Mm. Is a majority of that those comments online now then? That's how you get your feedback?
You know, a lot of them come email.
Email, yeah, of course.
And then messages, you know, you get a direct message on Facebook or Twitter or something like that.
Do you have any, memories of people, complaints or stuff that stick out to you that you've ever gotten?
Nothing that, you know, when you're talking to a mass audience, you're never going to please everyone.
Of course.
But, you know, there's nothing over the top that sticks out to me. And it's important for us to listen to that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the customer has an opinion that's important for us to listen to. And, We like to say sometimes there's two sides to every story, and I disagree with that. I think there are multiple sides to every story.
Right.
And I think every good journalist believes that. It isn't like I talk to one side and another side. Well, there are often multiple sides. And if we don't listen to our customers, the community, we may not be aware of all of the sides to the story.
Right.
We may think there are two or three, when maybe there's a half dozen out there.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why it's so important to listen to that feedback. And oftentimes, I get the question from people, how come you didn't cover this?
Oh.
And you know what the answer often is? We didn't know.
Didn't know.
So that's why it's so important to alert us of what you're aware of, what you're thinking, what your opinion is. It does matter to us. It's at the core of what we do is to peel back that onion and show different layers of the story. And the community's involvement is very, very important to that.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I can see that they're kind of like unpaid, tip people for you. Yeah, I understand
right,
that.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they want the news out there just as much as you do. So it's all like kind of a good ecosystem. Yeah, I can see that.
The news consumer is the boss, right?
Right.
I mean, we're working for them. Yeah. We're working for those people in our local community. You can turn on the national channels and watch them right here in Quincy, Illinois, but you're not going to get Quincy, Illinois news.
Exactly.
So we're here to provide a unique product that no one else can bring our local viewers, and that's local news from your backyard. And it's so important that those viewers are connected to us and we're hearing from them so that we're in touch with what's important to them.
Right. So let's take it back to some kind of a your perspective questions. A lot of new people are getting into the communication industry. They're either doing it directly by trying to go into the stone, like the gravel stone of like what is media, as in like news or radio or television. They try to get into those facets, but then there's also the online community where you can do that basically on your own. What is your advice on people getting into the industry, and how does it compare now to when you first started?
There are more opportunities today.
Yeah.
Because of all the platforms you just mentioned. And there's far more news now going on. So it used to be you'd have a 6 o'clock newscast and maybe one at 10 or 11 at night. And if you look around, some of these independent stations are constantly doing news. So there are more people being hired in news today. Most newsrooms are beefing up because of the platforms we're talking about.
Right.
So, you know, I encourage people to get into the business. I encourage people to do internships. So as I look for at someone like you and others out here, as I look through the studio window into where the classroom is, where people are coming and going, it's so important to get out of the classroom and visit a working newsroom while you're getting your education. And get some hands-on experience. And you'll hear from those customers we're talking about. And you'll also get to see what's most important in our community because you're hearing from those people, the people in the community. There's so many opportunities, whether it's that OTT unique content we're talking about where you can dig deeper, maybe have a more relaxed format like we're doing right now. This is the type of stuff we can do on OTT.
Right.
And while we're sitting here talking, punch up some video and pictures to kind of show what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So OTT is kind of a throwback to the talk radio days.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed when I had Jeff Dorsey in here is it is like that. It's like it's a resurgence of talk radio.
It is. And I got my start in talk radio.
Yeah.
So it's cool for guys like me because I'm like, this is an old format, but it's cool again. And we have the ability now, though, to do it on people's own timelines. That's the difference.
Right.
You know, it used to be the radio was one-way communication. You turn it on, you're broadcasting straight to them, and you might get some feedback, you know, through phone calls and stuff like that. Now, with the OTT streaming, it can be on demand. Yeah, we'll do it live, but we may have way more people watching on demand than when we're doing it live.
Right.
And so we're doing it on people's timelines. And, you know, the early days of broadcasting, there were pretty clear, well-defined shifts for most people. The way people work today, not so much.
Right.
A lot of people work from home now, right? Mm-hmm. So their workday is kind of fragmented. And OTT and other streaming platforms allows us to be there for people when it's on their own timeline. So that's the biggest change. But back to your question, for all the reasons we just said, it's a great time to be entering this field.
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, we've all studied, and you probably studied here at QU, the golden days of television, right?
Yeah.
This is the golden day of video.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Everywhere there's video on your phone.
Streaming on your TV. And YouTube, everything's
everywhere.
Huge. That is true.
And look at radio stations that are doing well right now. What do their websites look like? They have video all over them.
Okay, yeah. Even recordings of them in the studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People like the visual. You're right.
So it feels like to me we're in the golden days of video.
Yeah.
Because video is everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's video. Yeah. Everybody shoots video.
Yeah. And
what happens if you're walking down the street and you see something you like? You pop open your phone, you're shooting video.
Yeah. If it's not on video, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. It is exactly like that. It's streaming is the biggest medium right now, like growing. People watch new streamers, and they have outrageous amounts of viewership. And it is because they're able to let people watch on their own schedule. You know, like a person can tune in whenever they'd like, and they can donate however they want. That's a big thing is, you know, people have Patreon or whatever, or ask for donations up front. So people on their own can make money out of news, even without a studio. And so if it's like YouTube, I think would be the closest thing. People have their news YouTube stations, or they talk about political happenings, and they're able to get their money that way. That's not like a competition to you, right? But people on YouTube news trying to give their own news, right?
It's different than what we do.
Yeah,
and I think I think the consumer recognizes that.
Yeah, it's its own little niche thing. Yeah, I just competition seems to be there, but it's not like aggressive because everyone's doing it. So it's you have people reporting on the same stories, but since people are going to go to who they go to for their news, it's not exactly a, you know, like we're not taking viewers from other people because it's all streaming.
You know, as a news consumer, I always think it's good to consume news from multiple outlets.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a consumer, that's a healthy way of doing it. What we often see, though, when the big story breaks, people coming to their trusted local news source to make sure what they're seeing
is what everyone else
is true.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So when something big happens, there's a lot of chatter, right? It's all over social media. And when the dust settles, how much of that was accurate early on?
Right, right.
Often not a lot of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, COVID, so, the yes. toilet paper.
Right. So, you know, what we see often, and we consider it a compliment, that people will send us something they see on social media, and the question they pose to our newsroom is this right?
And then you're the fact checker for them.
We're the fact checker for them, and that's what we want to be known for.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to be the trustworthy source.
Right.
Of course.
So we don't discourage anybody from having multiple sources. I think that's a healthy way to consume news. If you look at my social media, you know, it's just a bunch of feeds of news organizations across the world.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking at all day long. Even though I work for a news outlet, I'm consuming news from multiple sources throughout mm-hmm. the day. And I think most news consumers are like that, but also most news consumers know who their trusted resource is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when you see stuff floating around out there, who do you go back to? You go back to that trusted resource. Yeah. And that's what we try to be here in people's backyards, that trusted local news resource.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of spite against like bigger news stations because of politically driven they are, but fact-checking news is comforting to a lot of people. You know, when they know that their reporters are going into the field, finding this information, double-checking it, redouble-checking that, you know, getting feedback, changing their format for the viewer, that is that connection and that dedication to it, it does build a lot of trust.
You know, there's a period in our business where a lot of people had the slogan, first with news, first with weather, first with sports. And it really meant nothing to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
It was like we were boasting amongst ourselves, right?
Yeah, like who got there faster.
Right.
Yeah.
What really matters to the consumer, if you listen to the consumer, and sometimes with all the noise, people forget to listen to the consumer. If you listen to the consumer, they want to make sure it's right.
Mm-hmm.
If it means waiting 7 more minutes to make sure it's right, they would rather us wait 7 more minutes to get it right.
Yeah.
We would rather be right than first any other day, any day of the year. We'd rather be right than first.
Yeah, of course.
And the consumer will tell you that. They'll remember when you got it wrong. They're not going to remember when you published the story.
Yeah.
And there are many times where we have a story and we feel pretty good about it, but there's still that inkling, we got one more box to check before we publish this, and we will sit on it until we're able to verify that last box.
Of course,
And that's not the case everywhere. You know, there's still that rush to get it out there fast in some places.
Mm-hmm.
But we have really moved in the direction of let's put all effort in getting it right, not getting it first. It may mean we know about it first and don't publish it first.
Right, yeah.
That may happen. But yeah, we'd like rather
sitting on a story.
We would rather sit on something and make sure it's right mm-hmm. than to rush it out there and have to walk it back.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense. Sending a story half done, you know, there could be that 10 or 20 other views that didn't get put in there. So, yeah, of course, that makes sense. Over your career, you've worked for multiple stations. How has does the format change per station, or is everything very compatible?
It varies station to station. Stations have different audiences, okay?
Right.
So, you know, depending on your station audience, you're going to tailor your format to that audience.
Mm.
You know, some stations may have an older audience. Some stations may have more of a working class audience. Mm. Some stations may have more of a mass audience. So it varies. But, you know, the overall, you know, goal of local journalism really doesn't change. What may change, you use the word format, and that's a great word. Because you may change how you place or position the story in a newscast, or you may change where weather hits in a newscast based on your audience.
Okay.
And based on the time of the day, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the morning show, morning newscast, you know people are coming and going, right?
Yeah.
It's rare. I always say if somebody's watching at 5 a.m., they did not get up to watch the news.
They stayed up from the night before.
No, they're up because they have somewhere to be.
Oh, I got you.
They're up because they have somewhere to be, and we're on in the background to provide them information. Okay.
Do you try to get like the weather in faster then?
Yeah. Okay. So if you watch it's kind of what I was getting at. If you watch a morning newscast, there's a lot of weather.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like nonstop weather in the morning because what's most important? The weather. Right.
Yeah. People get up.
what do I got to deal with?
Yeah, it's right. The first thing.
And there's a lot of, you know, front loading of news that happened overnight while you were sleeping that you're not aware of. So the format in the morning is vastly different than a format at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So even within a television station itself, the format changes throughout the day. So you can imagine working from one station to another, how the format might change.
Yeah. With the advances of technology, has that slacked a little bit with the timing, like when it in the show things are placed, since people can consume it at their own pace, or is it still
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. So from a consumer standpoint, I think most people appreciate the fact that they can watch it on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can pretty much go to any of our platforms, whether it's the phone app, the OTT app, or just the old legacy.com,
yeah,
and you can watch previous newscasts on demand. But for that live audience, we kind of know their, you know, their MO during a live newscast, depending on the time of the day. So I gave that morning example, right?
Yeah.
So in the morning, we kind of know people are up, they have us on, they're listening more than watching.
Yeah.
Because they're brushing their teeth, yelling at the kids to get ready for school, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're running around the house. We're kind of in the background. But we know at 10 o'clock at night, more of them are sitting down, right? They're sitting down watching it more traditional. So we may produce it a little bit different. You know, I think the way we produce it has evolved based on the viewing customer. And as you pointed out, the on-demand makes it much more convenient for the viewing customer. If the viewing customer is primarily a sports customer, well, they can go right to the sports section on demand and just start with the sportscast.
Yeah.
And the opposite is true. You know, if you're a news consumer, not a sports consumer, you can watch the news portion or you can watch the weather portion. So it's much more tailored to the customer now than it ever has been because of that technology. So it's a much better customer experience when it comes to local news.
Yeah. And we don't have to go keep diving into this, but I'm super curious. So in the evening, would those stories be more visual in their delivery than in the morning? In the morning, is it just talking?
Yeah. Well, they're visual in the morning. But in the evening, I think the difference is we have an audience that's more willing to sit down for a longer period of time, so we can offer them more depth on a story.
Okay.
So a story in the morning show, it's pretty fast-paced, right? Mm-hmm. We're moving, boom, 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 because we know the audience is moving, right?
Right.
They may watch for 10 minutes, go get in the shower, and come out and watch for 10 more minutes, and they're cooking, you know, eggs or something.
Yeah.
At night, it's more of a sit-down audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can produce more of those in-depth pieces. Where people can sit down and they have the luxury to sit down and watch and spend more time on an issue.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the primary difference.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for going deep into the format part of that question. Because a lot of times I ask and people say, yeah, there's change. And then they move on to something else. So it is interesting getting that perspective of, literally throughout the day, there's this format and
yeah,
every
right,
station
right.
kind of does it differently.
And some people may, you know, zip past it thinking, no, we're going to give away our secrets. But what we do is not a secret. It's transparent. If you watch us, you see it.
Yeah, right? You see what's happening. Yeah.
So it's no secret. And, you know, and it goes beyond that, though. You can continue that conversation into OTT.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about how the morning is kind of the headline news because we know people are moving fast. In the evening, we can give them more in-depth coverage.
Okay.
We can give them even more in-depth coverage on that OTT app.
Yeah.
And you're going to be seeing more of that in the future because just like you and I right here, we can talk all day.
Mm.
We have no time limit. We have no clock. I mean, we have appointments and things to go to.
Yeah, I won't keep
it
too long.
But we don't have a commercial break to go to right now. We we don't have to worry about anything. You know, we don't have to worry about Dr. Phil starting at a certain time of the day and we got to get on to him.
Mm-hmm.
So OTT is very much what we're doing right now, where we can take one of those big issues of the day that maybe aired in a traditional news format at 6 or 10, and we may bring in the newsmakers, like you and I are doing right now, and sit down and go even deeper with some of the newsmakers in that topic. Peel back that onion a little bit more.
Yeah, of course.
Just keep peeling it back. And that's what the streaming app is allowing us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can watch that on demand. We may mention after that broadcast story that, hey, if you want to learn more about this, go to our streaming app, download it, and watch whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the cool thing about what we're doing now. And I think it's energizing a lot of us that have been in the business for a long time. You know, every reporter, and I started as a reporter in the field before I moved, you know, inside to other jobs.
Mm.
Every reporter argues with the producer that they need more time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, yep. we only have a half an hour,
yeah.
and we can't give all the time to everybody, right? So as a reporter, you're really energized because you know you have that time frame on TV, but you have no time frame on the streaming app.
Right.
And you can go really deep and tell a story in a much different way than you can on the traditional broadcast channel because of the broadcast parameters.
I think viewers appreciate that more, having that extra thing to or that extra research where someone went in and actually analyzed the story. Here's these small tidbits that because when you get a fast news story, it's easy to create an opinion and stick with that opinion because, well, the news story's over and I got what I got out of it. But yeah, these new additions, these ability to have this extensive look into something, it allows people to be like, oh, wait, they explained that here. Oh, wait, here's the full quote they were saying, you know. So, yeah, these additions are very helpful, and I think the consumers love that. So
yeah, and I think the consumer is starting to catch on because, let's face it, early on in broadcasting, the website was essentially an archive. It was the exact same thing that was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Broadcasters may say, hey, we have more on whatever website, and you go there, what is it?
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, who are they fooling? And I think the consumer is catching on that has changed.
Yeah, because now they go to the site and it's actual different, longer things.
Exactly. Yes, so our goal in our newsroom, and I can't speak for others, but the goal in our newsroom is to have deeper, richer content on our digital platforms.
Yeah.
We have to meet those parameters on TV because you only have so much time. Nothing we can do about that. That is what it is right now. But we don't have those parameters on our digital platforms.
Mm.
So whether it's our legacy.com, where we're going to do an in-depth, what people used to call the print piece in newspaper, you're starting to see us do in our newsroom a lot more of those in-depth cover type stories on an issue that aired on TV. And you're starting to see us peel back the onion even more on that OTT app.
Yeah.
And I think the consumer is catching on and we're hearing good things from the consumer. Mm. And when we hear the consumer is into this, obviously we're going to be doing more of it.
Yeah, here at Quincy, we get a lot of feedback directly because all of our stuff is digital. So it's all there, but there's a big enough variety. So we get those comments of like for improvements or things like that. And when we go on the website, yeah, it's all there and it's all extensive and it leads to other things. So that your format of integrating all that and expanding upon it, easy for people to catch on, I think, now because it's becoming more popular and people are doing it. And so you're leading the way of that, it seems, with your business practices. Because I think a lot of people are kind of stuck in their ways. They don't want to do things until they have to. But the way you talk about it, it seems very go-getter. You know, like, got to stick with this new digital age and just make it the best it can be. So that's very great.
You know, we take pride in being the market leader.
Yeah.
You know, and being a leader isn't just a slogan you put out there. And I think this is an example of where the station is a leader in the local community. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing a lot of this right now locally. I think you will in the future.
Yeah.
But we're proud to be leading the way. We're proud to have launched that OTT app, and we're really proud to see people downloading it.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome.
So, you know, cheap plug, if you haven't downloaded it,
there you go.
It's on Apple TV, Fire TV, Android. If you have a smart TV, you can download it. And it's just the way people consume now, mm-hmm. especially the younger audience. The broadcast channel is not going anywhere anytime soon. It is doing extremely well. This is another audience that we're tapping into.
Yeah.
Something interesting, though. There's research out that shows in the past couple of years, sales for broadcast over-the-air antennas have gone through the roof.
Huh.
So people are actually putting the old-school antennas outside again, hooking them up to their TV to get over-the-air television for free. And I think they realize, hey, that football game's on the air for free. I don't have to pay for streaming for that.
Yeah, I just have to move my wires a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and things like, you know, here at WGEM, we broadcast local high school games on television.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to get that on the streaming apps.
Okay,
you're certainly not going to get it with your local announcers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's there been a realization that, hey, some of the stuff we're paying for with the streaming companies, we can get for free over the air, and it's always been free.
Yeah.
So those antennas are starting to go through the roof again. People are buying them, and it complements things like this app that we're talking about where people can download it and watch on demand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see the old school marrying with the new school.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I hadn't even heard of that, and I didn't even know that was still possible to use an antenna.
Yeah, and there are younger people buying them, too. Yeah. People your age and maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, wow. All right, so I don't want to miss this question. I ask everybody, in your career in media, what are some of your best memories, like, or best moments or things that have happened? I've had people talk about meeting presidents, big events they've covered. But what is your perspective? What is your
I can see why people bring up presidents. Yeah. in this business, if you stick around long enough, you get to meet a lot of interesting people. And I have covered presidential visits, been on the air live as Air Force One, taxis right behind me, interviewed many governors, celebrities, sports figures. That's all memorable. But I think the stories that mean the most I know the stories that mean the most that I carry with me are the ones where through our work we gave a voice to the voiceless. And in turn, those stories enacted change. I can think of one in my career. There was a while where I was an investigative journalist, an investigative unit, and we had a mother reach out to us saying, my daughter was sexually assaulted in a school restroom, public school restroom, and they're doing nothing about it. They don't believe her. School district completely denied the whole thing, said it never happened, wasn't true. We started digging. We obtained the police report. We obtained investigative paperwork. We were able to interview witnesses. We were able to get to the juvenile division of the state's attorney's office and start sitting in on the juvenile case as it was being heard in the court. And by the way, in the state of Illinois, statute allows a journalist to attend a juvenile case. The general public can't,
right,
but a journalist can. This example I'm giving you is why that statute is so important. Otherwise, that case would be in darkness.
Mm.
We started attending this case and realized this particular school district was just not telling the truth. This case was being tried. It was being tried, and they said it never happened.
Yeah, they're sweeping it under the rug.
That's right.
Yeah.
And think how many people that impacted at the end of the day. So we followed this case, talked to the mother, talked to the family, talked to the prosecutor, and to talk to the school. The school, to the very end, never admitted it happened. There was a conviction in this case. Mm. We shined light on an issue. It eventually enacted some change in the school district on policy that at the end of the day, students should be now safer than they were before that.
Yeah.
Those are the type of stories that matter the most. That's what most of us, I think, got into journalism for.
Right.
It's cool to interview Mark McGwire after he hit his 70th home run. Right. But this story that I describe is one where local journalism enacted change.
Yeah.
So those are the type of stories where we're able to give a voice to the voiceless and enact change that I think I carry with me the most.
Yeah, wow, that is inspiring. Most people get into this for entertainment and stuff like that, or to interview famous people. But yeah, change, help getting people's voices heard who just get suppressed by people. Like this, like you said, the school would never say anything. I think they, for PR reasons, they just can't ever admit it. So it is up to people who are willing to dig deeper.
Oh, no, they certainly could admit it. They could tell the truth.
They could, but they didn't. There's
no statute that says you have to lie when asked a question.
Oh, not statute. I mean their reputation. That's why they would never.
They chose not to tell the truth, and at the end, I don't know that helped their reputation at all.
No.
What we do as journalists, the reason we are protected, we're the only protected profession out there in the Constitution.
Yeah,
we have a First Amendment right to do what we do. And the reason we have that right, we have to remind ourselves, is to hold the powerful to account.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We do all kinds of cool things. like broadcasting local sports. We love doing that.
Yeah.
But we have a very meaningful purpose in our industry, and we can't lose sight of that despite all the flashy things you see on the cable channels, the yelling and screaming and the opinionated stuff you see out there. At the end of the day, there are a lot of hardworking local journalists that are trying to do good in local communities.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that has survived through all of media. You know, back in the day, there was always people like trying to find the truth, and that, and since it was protected in the United States, that it flourished here. News became such a big deal, and now it is so cemented in culture that we couldn't live without it, and so we have to adapt, find new ways of getting it to people, finding new ways to interact. So it's great to hear from people still in the industry that are still trying to get the truth, trying to get people heard. So that is very inspiring.
You know, and a big fun part of my job is in Quincy, we're a training ground. So we're a market size, much like other industries in town, where people come to start their careers. And it's energizing to see that people are still hungry to be in our business.
Yeah.
And it's energizing to see them walk in for the first time and walk out maybe a couple years later and they're heading to Dallas.
Yeah.
Or they're heading to St. Louis and they're ready to thrive in our industry. And we see a lot of that here in Quincy where, you know, people ask me, why are people coming and going? Well, we have a good core of local people who really aren't going anywhere. But the reason you see the younger people come and go is because we are a good training ground.
Yeah.
People come here, they start their career, and they move on, and we're proud of that. Mm-hmm. We're proud that we're hiring good people who grow here at our station and then move on to these bigger markets or maybe closer to home where they're making that difference in their own backyard where they grew up. So that's very energizing to see.
Yeah, you said earlier you encourage people to get internships, get out there and start being part of the business. So it shows that is part of your core belief, and that is very inspiring. I wanted to end the podcast by thanking you for coming, and wanted to see what else you're working on. Maybe you'd like to tell people any upcoming things, projects.
Well, in Quincy, the Dogwood Parade is back.
Yeah.
And we continue to be that local station, your hometown station. We'll broadcast that parade. So if it's like today where it looks great outside, but it's 37 degrees and you want to stay home and watch it, we'll have it on TV for you. And then we'll look into broadcasting the Macomb Heritage Days parade. You know, I'm sure we'll be back next year with more live sports. We do a lot of this community stuff. So we talk about the importance of what we do in journalism. Shining light on important issues. It's also important to be a part of the community and celebrate our successes. And just the Dogwood, the Macomb Heritage Days Parade, seeing state championships that we broadcast with the Quincy Notre Dame girls. We had Liberty in the state championship. It is fun to be able to broadcast and celebrate success. And we'll continue to be there for those events as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, sir. You've listened to a very wonderful episode of the QU podcast. I'm your host, Wyatt Randolph, joined by Chad Mahoney. Thank you again.